Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from Now at Ohio State, a new podcast featuring researchers, innovators, and bold thinkers who look at our world, see what the real challenges are, and create the solutions that people need now. Available on your favorite podcast platform or visit go.osu.edu/now.
And welcome to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. In 2015, the Buckeye State began beckoning tourists with the tagline, "Ohio, find it here." But what you will no longer find here is that promotional slogan. Following the adage, "Everything old is new again," the Ohio Department of Development has returned to the slogan, "Ohio, the heart of it all," first used in the 1980s, but then retired in the early 2000s. Joining us to discuss the new heart of it all campaign is Lydia Mihalik, the director of the Ohio Department of Development, which oversees Tourism Ohio. And Director Mihalik, thank you for joining us. Welcome to All Sides.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning. Thank you.
So why was it time to return to Ohio being the heart of it all?
Well, that's a really great question. Well, first and foremost, you know, for the past several years, we have been encouraging both in-state and out-of-state travelers to find it here. And millions of people have found fun and excitement and adventure mm-hmm. here in the Buckeye State. What we know is that we are promoting more than just travel here in Ohio. We want people to not only come to Ohio, but we want them to explore the state of Ohio. We want them to love Ohio. And so when we were rethinking about how we could really market the state as a great place to not only have fun, but a great place to live and to learn and to work, we wanted to have a brand that was a little more unifying. Mm-hmm. So we took a look at what our friends in the tourism industry have liked about what we've used in the past. We talked to experts. And quite frankly, if you went around and asked people what the brand or the slogan has been or is for the state, a lot of folks did say it was the heart of it all. And so it had some staying power. And so, you know, why fight it? So we went back to the heart of it all. It's been 20 years since we've used that. And so we went back to the heart of it all and we're loving it. Absolutely loving it.
So the heart of it all had some staying power. You know, the state kind of shaped a little bit like a heart.
Absolutely. Right. Something we're located in the middle of the country, within 60% of the U.S. population, within a day's drive of the U.S. population, so loving it. You know, we wanted to have a brand that really helped position us for not only today, but for tomorrow as well. And look, the brand is about family, about friends, about, making connections. We felt like it was something familiar. I think it also is something that, you know, Find It Here was great, and it had an ability, you know, to speak to, you know, just about anything. The heart of it all is something I think that has an emotional connection to everyone here in the state, and we're jazzed up about it.
So did you hire an ad agency or consultants to come up with other options for you, or were you set on returning to the heart of it all from the beginning?
We were pretty set on returning to it. Look, the governor, Governor DeWine, has been pushing us from the very beginning of the administration that we needed to be looking holistically at the way that we promote the state. And we needed a brand that was flexible, that was versatile, that worked in so many ways. And so we knew that the heart of it all really gave us that capability. You can think about Ohio as the heart of opportunity, the heart of family, the heart of adventure. We could go on and on all day. And we really thought that going back to the heart of it all and giving it a refresh was the way that we could be ultimately successful.
We're talking about the heart of it all with the director of the Ohio Department of Development, Lydia Mihalik. And we are talking about what they're doing with the heart of it all campaign. What is the goal of the campaign? So you're looking for tourists first.
Sure.
All right. So let's talk about the tourists.
Yeah.
Are you looking for tourists from outside Ohio, or do you consider Ohioans tourists whenever they travel around the state?
Yeah. So look, Ohio tourism is not only big fun, but it's also really big business. So in 2021 or 2022, we had record spending in tourism dollars. And that spending is from people who travel within the state, but also from people who travel from outside of the state. And it was $53 billion.
$53 billion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's a huge contributor to our economy. It's also over 424,000 jobs, so it's really good for us. The way we look at it is, you know, when you're promoting the state as a great place to come and play, the message is the same, right, as when you're promoting the state as a great place to live. We're going to be working with our partners in the industry over the next year plus to really try and amplify the message. And it's going to be a really exciting time. It's a multifaceted, channel advertising campaign, and something that we're really looking forward to. And we started that back at the very beginning of May.
So are you going to be looking for tourists? Are there certain states that you're targeting to try to draw people in? Which states are you going for?
Yeah,
if I go somewhere, where am I going to see a billboard?
Right? Yeah, great question. So we are actually in 28 markets.
Okay.
And 8 of those markets are here in the state of Ohio. 20 of them are outside and around, are outside the state. We look at the markets that are immediately surrounding the state. So you're looking at Michigan and Indiana and Kentucky and Pennsylvania. And then we go, you know, just a little bit farther outside of that. But these are all markets that are, chosen based upon, data that we've generated over time. And look, depending upon what we end up doing with our budget here in the next few weeks, we'll be able to expand potentially those markets. This is more, again, than just a tourism and travel marketing campaign. It's really a workforce attraction campaign, too. I mean, we are in a fierce competition with other states, not only in the Midwest, but across the country for people. We've had some really great success with our economic development strategy over the last several years, some really big wins. As Governor DeWine and Lieutenant Governor Husted have said, we're creating jobs faster than we can find people to fill them. So this is just as much about, making sure that Ohio remains in the top consideration for folks when they're looking for a place to call home.
All right. So you don't want just tourists. You want people to move here.
That's right.
You want people to move here. You want people to pick to live here.
That's right.
So are you wanting them to live here for these jobs that are coming in and or also if they are going to do a work from home job, to pick Ohio as the place to do that?
Yeah. So I think, yes, all of the above. Mm-hmm. Right. So we definitely know that there are available jobs now for folks to have. We have existing businesses that continue to expand here in the state of Ohio. We also know that there are plenty of businesses that are looking to come to Ohio. We've just got a great environment right now. We have a very strong economy. We have a wide variety of beautiful places to live and to work here in the state of Ohio. Lots of things to do in terms of our quality of life. We're just a very attractive place right now, and we want to make sure that everybody knows about those things. Making sure that all of the great things that have been done over the last several years, people know about that. Just doing a word of mouth campaign is one thing, but we want to be super intentional about how we promote the state. And again, more than just a great place to come and play, we're an incredible place to live.
So are you focusing mainly on TV commercials, billboards, or do you have, what's the starting focus?
Yeah, so in the past, the way that we have promoted the state, we've done a lot of broadcast commercials, we've done digital campaign. We've done, things of that nature. But now we are doing a multi-faceted, multi-channel, both broadcast television, but also out of home. So we've done billboards and wallscapes and those types of mm-hmm. things as well. So we're doing all of the things I think that, you know, those in the profession would expect us to do, just being a lot more data-driven and trying to be more focused on, you know, certain segments of the population that we know that we think we have a better chance of attracting here to our great state.
So what segments is that? Okay. Where are you looking?
I'm so glad that you asked this question. So there are two actual segments that we are super focused on. There are folks who are, you know, looking to come to the state of Ohio and take advantage of our affordability. So those who are going to come and get a great job here and, you know, be able to do all of the things that they want to do, have a great life, go and take in all of the sights, do all of the cultural things that they want to do, go and watch a great football game, and, you know, make sure that they can enjoy life like they want to enjoy it. And then, you know, people who want to be the second segment are people who want to be close, right, to things. People want to be close to family. People want to be close to friends and their work, but also close to all the fun things that there are to do. So if you want to be close to a big city, certainly there are lots of locations that you can be here in the state of Ohio. So those two particular segments we're really focused on.
And when you're trying to attract people, are you trying to get them to move to the Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, or is that where they tend to focus on rather than the more rural parts?
So, you know, the way that we look at it is we want them to have the choice to locate anywhere. And of course, there are people who love to be in the major metro areas. And then there are some really great small towns, charming places all across the state of Ohio that are actually becoming really great places to live where people want to be. There are a ton of them all across the state. And so, whether you want to be in a rural area or you want to be in an urban area or a suburban area, Ohio is the spot. And we're just going to do everything we can to make sure we can tell that story.
Now, the political climate in Ohio has become more conservative yeah. as of lately. Attracting those young people, how do you counter the political climate that they might not be interested in?
You know, I don't necessarily subscribe to the fact that young people don't want to be in a conservative climate. I think people want to go to an area where they can enjoy a great quality of life. And, you know, I think there are lots of places all across the state of Ohio that you can do that. There are vibrant cities, vibrant communities all around this great state. And I think right now, more than ever, affordability obviously is top of mind for a lot of folks. And you don't want to be in a place where your dollar doesn't stretch very far. And so I'm really excited about us being able to share the message about how great Ohio is. And I think we're gonna be able to take advantage of that here very, very soon.
There's a proposed plan to change the name of Tourism Ohio and the office and rename it to the State Marketing Office.
Yeah.
And that'll include more job development. So what do you think of that change?
You know, look, I think the reason why we wanted to change the name is because we think it more accurately reflects what the office is doing. We have been over the past several years looking at marketing the state as more than just a place to come and visit. And so that was the reason for the change in the budget.
And in recent years, Jobs Ohio has been using a lot of billboards in other cities. I think they were using the tagline, Ohio is for leaders. So how successful was that campaign? Are you going to deploy the heart of it all in a similar way?
Yeah. So look, Jobs Ohio is a great partner of ours. They, you know, JP and his team have done a wonderful job of really, working with us to attract business here and do expansion projects throughout the state. The proof is, you know, really in the numbers. They've had some record years, and they've also, stepped out and done this edgy marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. I think everybody was looking at those billboards and like, oh my gosh, like, you know, that it's meant to be a little more provocative mm-hmm. than maybe what a traditional state would do. And I think they had some good success. I couldn't tell you exactly what those numbers look like, but definitely got people talking, which was, you know, part of what the objective was. We are are going to be working and partnering with Jobs Ohio on this broader message moving forward. I'm excited to be able to take, you know, the heart of it all and moving it forward. I will say that we believe that the heart of it all will be more widely accepted, particularly by the business community, and it will be something that they will use to help in their talent attraction efforts. Mm-hmm. So we've already had conversations with several larger businesses across the state who want to be able to use it in general to help with their HR teams to help attract talent.
So just let's talk about the goal for this year, this mm-hmm. first year of mm-hmm. the new heart of it all.
Yep.
Do you have numbers that you're putting on it? So like just bigger than the last numbers?
Yeah. So I can tell you, our goals overall are to achieve a really strong presence in Ohio to basically create awareness and pride, right, for the new brand. We want to prioritize awareness of Ohio as a great place to live, a great place to learn, work, and raise a family. And then we want to be able to achieve a really broad reach among those target audiences that we talked about and within those targeted market areas, those 28 targeted market areas. We've got some KPIs around impressions, ROI, visitors and visitor spend. So, you know, I was talking earlier about, that $53 billion, mm-hmm. right? Which is a really big deal. I have a pretty good feeling about what 2023 is going to look like for us. We'll see how that shakes out. But definitely looking at what those key performance indicators are for us for 2023, and we'll see how it shakes out for us.
Do you have enough money to do what you want to do with the campaign?
So we could always use more money, right? when you're doing advertising, and you know we have money in the tourism budget for the state marketing office budget that's going through the process right now, and we have additional dollars that are set aside also. And marked for workforce attraction in our budget as well, and looking forward to how that shakes out with both the House and the Senate in the budget process. And look, I'm really jazzed up about what we've got in store. Very excited that the governor and lieutenant governor were able to roll this out in May. We've gotten some great feedback from members of the legislature. I think the community at large is really excited and happy to embrace this and move forward with it. It's been totally better embraced by the state than what I think Find It Here was. I think people just love Heart of It All a lot more.
Well, and as you said, a lot of people thought it still was Heart of It All, right?
That's right. Absolutely. So I think the more we get, the more eyeballs we get on it and the more that people see it. I mean, we launched the brand anthem in May, which was, I think, a lot different than what we have normally done in the past. We've got, you know, the new tourism commercial that we're launching today, which will be really mm-hmm. exciting. It's the heart of big moments. So the grandmother and the granddaughter, they're going to go on a road trip again, which will be really fun. I think what we're doing is being intentional, and we're doing it in a way, I think, that we've never done it before. And I'm excited to see what the results are going
to
be.
All right. We'll have to have you back to talk about those results.
I would love to come back and talk about it.
All right. That is the director of the Ohio Department of Development, Lydia Mihalik. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from Now at Ohio State, a new podcast featuring researchers, innovators, and bold thinkers who look at our world, see what the real challenges are, and create the solutions that people need now. Available on your favorite podcast platform or visit go.osu.edu/now.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Amy Jurevich. And we're talking about Ohio, the heart of it all, the tourism campaign. The new campaign is just one component in the landscape of marketing used by tourism bureaus across the state to attract new visitors and sell the state as a convention destination and to possibly also lure new residents. Tourism industry expert Bill Geist is founder and president of DMO Pros, a consulting firm specializing in destination marketing, and the author of the 2017 book Destination Leadership. He also hosts the podcast Destination Marketing Organization University. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So can you tell us about what exactly is a destination marketing organization?
It is either the governmental at a state level or a local at a community level organization that is in charge of essentially telling the story of the community with an interest in attracting people to come, to visit, to experience, and then to possibly consider, and this is the long game, possibly consider investing in the community, moving to the community. But that is really a kind of a new philosophy. I mean, when destination marketing organizations really began back in the 80s and 90s, it really was about filling hotel rooms, yes. Quote unquote, heads in beds, right? Mm-hmm. But now we realize, as Lydia was talking, somebody comes and actually, you know, experiences a destination, they begin to wonder, is this where maybe I take my next stand? Is this where I find my next opportunity? So that's really where destination marketing has been and where it is today, is based honestly on a landmark study by Longwoods International, an Ohio company, that identified about 8 years ago that a tourism ad actually will increase somebody's thought process on whether they want to move there, go to school there, invest there, start a business there. I mean, to the tune of 10 to 15% increase in that kind of a mindset just based on a 30-second tourism ad. So we realized at that point in time that the mandate for destination marketing organizations really got much bigger than just, quote unquote, heads in beds.
Right. So knowing, you know, having an affinity with a state based on maybe a slogan. So how impactful are state tourism slogans then?
You know, slogans are great. I think the real issue is, honestly, it's budget, right? It comes down to how much reach and frequency you can get in the marketplace. I mean, heart of it all has always been a great tourism slogan, but Illinois is calling itself the middle of everything, which is pretty close.
Right? Yeah, all right,
and
yeah.
Illinois just passed a budget with $50 million for tourism compared to $10 million in Ohio. So, I mean, you know, Virginia has, you know, Virginia's for Lovers, iconic. New York is I Love New York, iconic. But Michigan is probably one of your biggest competitors. And frankly, Michigan, I mean, pure Michigan, what does that mean? I mean, it's pure. That's great. But, you know, what makes Michigan's tourism campaign so perfect is the evocative television ads with Tim Allen voicing them. But it isn't just Tim's voice. It's the copywriting that gets you right in your heart. I mean, one of my favorites was in the very first year of the Pure Michigan campaign, where they were promoting the sunrise side of Michigan. And they were talking about the gorgeous sunrises on the coast. And Tim says, you know, we humans get 25,000 sunrises, give or take. Shouldn't they be pure Michigan? And it's like, oh, absolutely.
Look, I'd forgotten all about that. You just gave me chills. Yeah.
Yeah, but with $30 million, give or take, at their disposal, they can just jam that message forward. Where I think it really comes down to, I mean, there are some great slogans out there. I mean, Wisconsin, my home, you know, and I would hope that Wisconsin will take a cue from Ohio and go back to the best slogan they ever had, which was Escape to Wisconsin.
What are they now? Do you know?
Well, Escape went to You're Among Friends, and then it went to Live Like You Mean It. And frankly, I don't know what it is right now.
Okay.
But the thing is Escape to Wisconsin, at one point in time, the estimate was that 1 in 10 cars in Wisconsin had the Escape to Wisconsin bumper sticker.
Hmm.
Now, if people are going to actually put the state slogan, which on our license plates is America's Dairyland, which means, you know, whatever. But if you're going to put that on your bumper sticker or on your bumper, I mean, that's community pride, right? That's state pride. So anyway, you know, I think part of it comes down to, you know, getting something that means, like Heart of It All, that means something that can be prideful. But I think a lot of it really comes down to the power behind reach and frequency.
So when you talk about reach and frequency, the director of the Department of Development, who was just on the show, said that they are going to be in 28 markets. So 8 of those markets are in Ohio, and then 20 are around. But you think they don't have enough money to be impactful in all of that, because they have so much?
I'm not going to say they don't have enough money to be impactful. I think that it's just they're being outgunned by other states.
I see.
They're going to have, I mean, this is going to have an impact as they move forward. And I think that, you know, connecting the dots with the fact that it's both tourism and workforce development makes a lot of sense. I think that the fear is workforce development can sometimes overshadow and redirect revenues away from pure tourism marketing. And then I think that's what I think everybody in the communities throughout Ohio are waiting to see, is just how it's going to be implemented, how it's going to be executed. But you know, understanding that the two of them are absolutely connected makes just a ton of sense.
Let's talk for a second about some unsuccessful tourism slogans. A good example would be Oklahoma is okay.
Yeah. Well, and there was this movement, right, of taking your two-letter state designation. And the one that really crashed and burned was Washington State, which actually ended up having the legislature shut the state tourism office down because they were so angry. And Washington's was
Say wah.
It just totally crashed and burned. But then, like 3 years later, Wyoming went to That's Why. And it worked, right? Hmm. So, you know, and there are some great examples of things that, you know, it took them for years. West Virginia, you know, you've got that John Denver song out there. How do you not capitalize on Almost Heaven? And it took them forever to get there, but they are there now. I like Utah, which is Life Elevated, which has been there for a while. California makes a lot of sense in, you know, Dream Big, Dreamers Welcome, Find Yourself Here, right? That's kind of what you would expect from California. One of my favorites was Minnesota has always said they are the land of 10,000 lakes. And a number of years ago, Wisconsin put a billboard in downtown Minneapolis that said, come to the land of 15,000 lakes, which is Wisconsin. And then the tagline at the end was, and ours have fish.
Oh. So,
yeah, right.
So what these tourism campaigns and having these slogans, what's the perception of people who already live in the state? So, you know, like people who live here in Ohio, do they care whether we're the heart of it all if you're already here?
I think from a pride factor, I think that there is something there. I think that, you know, the people who live in a place oftentimes don't agree with the brand messaging that their local destination marketing organization has come up with. There was a community, and I can't think of the name of it right now. I don't want to guess, but there was a town in Texas that the new slogan was pure and simple, which really does kind of articulate who they are. I mean, it's a very laid back, very cool, just, you know, it's, they don't put on airs. You can just be yourself, pure and simple. And yet the community came back and went, hey, they're calling us simple. Mm. It's like, so there's a lot of pushback oftentimes in the words of a brand. But, you know, again, I mean, heart of it all was the brand for so many years in Ohio that I think that going back to it is going to, I think, probably pay some benefits.
And you mentioned this briefly. Let's talk a little bit more about incorporating job development into the marketing area. So right now it's called Tourism Ohio, but they're proposing to change the title of that whole department into the State Marketing Office because they want to add in not just tourism, but also development with jobs and getting people to live here. What do you think about that combination? Do they need to be separate?
Interesting point. I think the separation makes sense only because when you lump everything together, the fear is that economic development sounds more important and will take more of the budget. Okay. But I think, you know, having them work absolutely in sync makes perfect sense. And I'll give you an example. Destination Cleveland, which is the destination marketing organization for Cleveland, the destination marketing organization has actually been put in charge of workforce development, of talent attraction, which is really different. That you don't see that anywhere in the country. And yet it makes perfect sense because chambers of commerce and economic development councils, which is where you would expect that to live, are really good at B2B communications. That's what they do, business to business. Mm-hmm. Workforce development is not B2B, it's B2C, it's business to consumer. And who does that better than anyone? It's the destination marketing organization, because that's what they do. So having Destination Cleveland take talent attraction makes a lot of sense, but again, it broadens what destination marketing organizations do. It's not just about tourists. It's about having a message that goes out there and can and talks to everybody for every reason that says this, Cleveland, Ohio, Columbus, this is where you want to be. This is just the coolest place on the planet. And why wouldn't you be here? If you can work from anywhere, why wouldn't you come here? And I think that's the issue.
And let's just talk for a minute about how destination marketing has changed since the pandemic. I have to think that marketing your state probably went, you know, was up, 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 and then had to just like plummet during the pandemic, right? So is everyone just like building back up with the idea of your place being a destination?
I think it really has. And I think that the whole, okay, so you've got the pandemic, then you've got the Great Resignation, and now everybody's starting to come back to work. And everybody, as Lydia said, I mean, we are in a battle in every state, every community for workforce and for talent. And so, again, the mandate has gotten much bigger for destination marketing organizations because, you know, we are the marketing arm for our community, our state, our region, whatever it may be. And we have to make that case that you can be anywhere you want to be today. And why not here?
Why not here in the heart of it all? We are talking today about the Heart of It All Tourism Campaign for Ohio, and we're expanding that into the idea of destination marketing in general. We are talking with Bill Geis, the founder and president of DMO Pros, a consulting firm that specializes in destination marketing. And we'll have much more to come in just a moment. This is All Sides, and I'm Amy Jurevich on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from Now at Ohio State, a new podcast featuring researchers, innovators, and bold thinkers who look at our world, see what the real challenges are, and create the solutions that people need now. Available on your favorite podcast platform or visit go.osu.edu/now.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Amy Jurevich. We're talking about the Ohio, the heart of it all, tourism campaign, and how it might impact demographic trends in the ever-changing Central Ohio region. Still with us is Bill Geist, tourism industry expert and president of DMO Pros, a consulting firm that specializes in destination marketing. Thanks again for being here, Bill.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity.
And also joining us now is Michael Wilkos, the Senior Vice President of Community Impact at United Way of Central Ohio. He has spent years studying population and demographic changes in Central Ohio. Michael, welcome back to All Sides.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
So, Michael, what do you expect out of this new campaign, Ohio being the heart of it all once again? Will that help bring people specifically to Central Ohio?
Well, I first want to say I love the slogan, Ohio, the heart of it all. I've been listening to the conversation prior to my joining the program, and I'm one of those people who probably thought the slogan was around for a lot longer than what it was and didn't really pay attention to the other slogans that we had. And I think the slogan works on many levels. Do I think that that slogan is driving people to Central Ohio? I think it certainly helps to have a slogan in which is endearing to people. I mean, clearly just the fact that Ohio is kind of like the shape of a heart and it works on lots of levels is really great. But I want to give some statistical context to what's really happening in Central Ohio. All of the growth of this state since 2010 has been in Central Ohio. We've added over 260,000 people, while the rest of Ohio has lost more than 20,000. So I guess I would have to ask a question, kind of looking for a response, maybe from Bill, is that would the slogan be working for Central Ohio but not working for Toledo and Dayton and Cleveland and Youngstown? Because they're also in the state, but they are losing people. But I will add that all of the growth of Franklin County specifically, which, by the way, 60% of this state's population growth has occurred in one county, and all of the growth of Franklin County is due to increases in non-white population, that the white population of Franklin County and Columbus fell for the first time in history, despite this huge growth in population, all driven by diversity.
Yeah. Bill, what do you think? Do you think that, you know, one part of a state can grow and all the other parts not be growing?
Well, that certainly can happen, but I don't think that the slogan necessarily diminishes the corners of the state. I mean, I think, yeah, Columbus is the heart of it all, but I think the entire state can benefit.
So what demographic trends in here in Central Ohio being the heart of the heart of it all, do you think Columbus can capitalize on that?
I think so. I mean, clearly it already is.
Mm-hmm. If it's Ohio's been fine here and Columbus has been doing fine, right?
Correct. I mean, and you know, it was interesting. I was hearing the conversation about Cleveland with Destination Cleveland. I just happened to be looking at some job numbers this morning. You know, in the last decade, the Cleveland Metro has added 25,000 net jobs. We've added 156,000 net jobs. As I think more kind of broadly about the diversity, I think about other things that are happening in the state. And that is the state creating a welcome mat for all in an equal way? If I were a brown or black individual, a member of the LGBT community, just this morning, a new national study was released that looked at business climate. It's actually a state LGBT business climate index. Ohio fell three notches. We are only 35th out of 50 in the state. We have a failing record when it comes to if you are an LGBT business owner, should you open up a business in Ohio? And the answer to that is no. We are 9th out of 12 states in the Midwest. And as I reflect about before we had Columbus, which I think works well on lots of levels, and so many people across this metropolitan region have adopted that. Prior to that, there was this reference to Columbus as being smart and open. And I thought that worked on lots of levels. We are an education community. We have a very high level of educational attainment. That's why companies like Intel are moving here. Mm-hmm. And we're also open to new ideas. We're open as a business climate destination. And we have very much in Central Ohio been open around equity. That's not true for the rest of the state.
Bill, how do you see other states using destination marketing to attract different demographics? Do they focus in on like the different, you know, gender and race and everything? Or is it just a general campaign and we'll see who comes?
I think increasingly destination marketing organizations from local to state are embracing and focusing on being welcoming to everyone of any ethnicity, of any lifestyle choices. I see that. In fact, there was actually a conservative blog post recently that was attacking a number of conservative state tourism offices for being woke. And it's like, hey, this isn't about black and white and brown or any other color. This is about green. This is about attracting people to our communities so that they help build our economies and then hopefully fall in love with us so that they'll move here and they'll invest here. And it's just kind of a fascinating thing. I think the reality is that most states are targeting campaigns that attract and speak to everyone.
It's interesting, though, as I reflect on what's happening in the state of Florida. We have the largest tourist destination in the country, with Disney in Orlando being really under attack by the governor. And then recently, the NAACP issued a travel warning to Black Americans about visiting that state because of the hostility toward Black residents within that state. And, you know, it's not something that I follow other than the stuff I read in local and national publications, but it does seem counterintuitive that in a state that is very much dependent upon travel and tourism, that the largest employer in the state, the largest travel destination in the country, and when we look at the growing demographics of our country, that we have a state that is openly hostile to companies that are inclusive and to demographics that are non-white.
Bill, do you see Florida having a tourism problem, destination marketing problem?
That's going to be an interesting one going forward to see whether or not these travel boycotts are going to have an impact. Clearly, the governor says they won't. I think the jury is out at this point in time. But here's the problem with the travel boycotts. And I certainly understand what the NAACP and others are saying, but what's going to happen is if they're effective, it's actually going to hurt Black workers who lose hours, who lose jobs because there's a diminished tourism economy. And so, you know, while I completely understand the rationale and the message, you know, is the unintended consequence, if it does actually work, kind of self-defeating.
And Bill, a few moments ago, Michael mentioned the new Intel plant. So here in Central Ohio, we're getting an Intel plant. It's going to bring a lot of growth to Central Ohio. But we need more workers. We need more workers who know how to do the jobs that Intel needs. There's a lot of room for growth there. We need housing for them all. Can destination marketers capitalize and bring people here for that Intel plant? Can you see them focusing the heart of it all into that particular Intel, like one thing, like an Intel plant?
Yeah. And with today's level of data that's available to us, we can target those types of individuals, you know, of that educational attainment or, you know, whatever it may be, we can target messages into the very target markets that we believe are the people who actually might want to come and work for Intel and come to Ohio for their next adventure.
Do you think that, Michael, do you think that Central Ohio is going to see different growth because of Intel and other businesses like that coming here? Was that going to change your demographics that you were just mentioning?
I think so. Let me give a little bit of context to what our current situation is. So the unemployment rate that was recently released for April, unemployment in Franklin County is now just 2.8%. Local economist Bill Lafayette, who is probably the most skilled economist in our region looking at these trends, has said that the number one reason why the Central Ohio economy won't add more jobs this year is there simply aren't enough people to do those jobs. Mm. When you think about travel and leisure and hospitality in Central Ohio, it's actually 108,000 people already work in that industry. When you think of new Americans that are coming to Central Ohio, about 42% of every new American that moves to the state moves to just Franklin County. In fact, while the city of Columbus itself is just 7.7% of the state's population, 28% of all the new Americans that live in the state live within the city limits of Columbus, Ohio, right? Mm. We are an international destination. And then more specifically, or more broadly, I should say, when it comes to population growth, half of our population growth comes to babies over deaths. 26% comes from people moving from other countries to Central Ohio. And the largest and the smallest percentage are people leaving from one other part of the United States and coming to Columbus, and almost all of that is coming from within Ohio. So what do I think the impacts of Intel will be? I'm already feeling it. My brother-in-law lives in Youngstown. He works for the Plumbers and Pipefitters Union. They set the wages at $34 an hour. There are Columbus construction companies showing up at his job sites, and they're saying, hey, Amy, I'll pay you $34 an hour to be a construction worker. But if you move to Columbus, I'll pay you for 12 hours for an 8-hour day. So that $64,000 a year job in Youngstown becomes a $100,000 a year job. And my brother-in-law is losing workers who are moving to Central Ohio. They have no intention of buying a home here because they can't afford Columbus housing prices. They will stay in campers and trailers. They will do their construction job. They'll go back on Friday nights to their family, drive back that 2.5-hour, 3-hour drive in the morning, and they'll work here for 4 days and kind of go back and forth. So I think there's going to be a Ohio impact of Intel. But the new Americans that are here are working where? Hospitality and leisure, and they're working in construction. The two areas we need workers badly.
Yes. So, yes, I have no business being a construction worker. That's the problem. We need to find people who can do the job, and then we'll come here for those really great wages. But that's probably another show, right? Yes. So for bringing the people here to Ohio, you just mentioned people are moving to Columbus. Are any of them already Ohio residents?
Yeah. So when you look at national demographers, will say one of the suppressions to Central Ohio's growth is the weakness of the nearby cities. If almost all of the domestic in-migration Columbus is receiving comes from entirely within Ohio, and who's most likely to move? Young people, right? And Columbus has been a destination for young people for two reasons. We're producing jobs, which is economic opportunity, and we are a destination around education. Ever since people really started to live in cities, there have been push factors, war, famine, persecution, and pull factors, economic, educational opportunity, and a sense of welcomeness. Columbus has always been a strong place because it's providing educational and employment opportunities. But if I were a brown or black or LGBT individual, as I identify with that population, I'd have to think a little more critically as to whether or not Ohio is a welcoming state for me. And I think that's not good economic development policy. And I don't think it's good hospitality and leisure marketing as well.
And Bill, what role can destination marketing play in keeping people here, keeping them from leaving the state, you know, for whatever reason?
Destination marketing organizations, again, continue to expand beyond just marketing. And so there is a fascinating concept that was put forth by a researcher from the University of North Alabama, who said there's good money, there's bad money, and there's neutral money. And good money is the money that comes into our state from other places, because now it's ours. Bad money is the money that we spend when we go and travel somewhere else. And neutral money is the money that we spend within the state. And he said that the destination marketing organization of the future is going to be about increasing good money, decreasing bad money, and increasing the velocity of neutral money. And I remember going up to him when he said this 10, 15 years ago, and I said, you know, destination marketing organizations do the good money thing, but we don't do the bad money thing or the neutral money thing. And he smiled at me and he goes, yeah, I know. Who does? Touche. So I think that destination marketing organizations will continue to move towards finding ways to encourage local residents not to leave the state, not to take their money somewhere else, because there's so much to do in the heart of it all. And I think that we have so long, and I know that Lydia said 8 of whatever it was, 28 markets are local. But I think that there's something to be said for continuing to market locally, to give people the pride and the reason to invite their friends and relatives from out of state to come in. And so there's been this kind of, you know, unwritten rule that you market outside of the state, you don't market in state. And I think that we have to market in state.
All right.
For that very reason.
Well, thank you very much. We are talking about the heart of it all, Columbus, and then the heart of it all for Ohio. That was Bill Geist, the founder and president of DMO Pros, a consulting firm specializing in destination marketing. Also with us, Michael Wilkos, the senior vice president of community impact at the United Way of Central Ohio. He's been studying demographic shifts here in Central Ohio for years. Thank you, Michael, for being with us.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Yep, and thank you, Bill. Thanks for being here. And this is All Sides. I'm Amy Jurevich. This is 89.7 NPR News.